Good morning, everyone. I just have one quick announcement before we get started. Today is a new member ceremony, and if you are one of the families joining us as new members today, it is your option. We will be doing it after the children leave for RE. If you want to keep your children in so that they can do the ceremony piece with you, that is fine. And then if you want to take them to their classroom when we're done, that is fine. That is totally your option, whether you keep them in or let them go to their class. The ultimate weakness of violence is that it is a descending spiral, begetting the very thing it seeks to destroy. Instead of diminishing evil, it multiplies it. Through violence, you may murder the liar, but you cannot murder the lie nor establish the truth. Through violence, you murder the hater, but you do not murder hate. Violence increases hate. Returning violence for violence multiplies it, adds deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. The question is not whether we will be extremists, but what kind of extremist will we be? Will we be extremist for hate or for love? Will we be extremist for the preservation of injustice or for the extremist of justice? Come, let us walk in light and love and justice. Come and let us worship here together. Please take just a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to the people around you.
Love recognizes no barriers. It jumps hurdles, leaps fences, penetrates walls to arrive at its destination full of hope. We light our chalice in honor of that love. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our opening hymn this week, number 169, We Shall Overcome. Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we work to surround this community with the spirit of love in everything we do. My name is Heidi, and I'm the worship associate for this morning's service. No matter who you are or where you come from, you are welcome here. We welcome those who have known nothing but acceptance in their lives, and those who have known the pain of exclusion and suffered disdain for their differences. LCUUC is a UUA-recognized welcoming congregation, which means we welcome and affirm all people, regardless of who they love or what pronouns they use. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after the service, and while you're there, stop by the welcome table and find out more about LCUUC. Today's order of service includes announcements of upcoming church activities, and we look forward to everyone joining in. We stay current on services, events, and activities. Please check out our webpage at lcuuc.org and like and follow us on Facebook. Please take a moment at this point in the service to silence all electronics that you may have with you today. We are glad that you have chosen to celebrate and worship with us.
till it come. We who believe in freedom again and rest, oh no. Say we who believe in freedom again and rest, until it comes. Until the killing of black men, black mothers, sons, is as important as the killing of white men, white mothers, sons. Struggling myself don't mean a whole lot. I've come to realize that teaching others to stand up for what's right is the only way our struggle survives. We who believe in freedom can rest, oh no. We who believe in freedom can rest until it comes. To me, young people come first. They have the courage where we fail. And if I can just shed some light, they'll carry us through the gale. The older I get, the better I know that the truth to my going on is when the reins are in the hand of the young who dare to run up against the storm. We who believe in freedom and rest, oh no. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. Not needing to clutch for power, not needing the light just to shine on me. I need to be one in the number who will stand up to tyranny. Struggling myself don't mean a whole lot. I've come to realize that teaching others to stand up for what is right is the only way our struggle survives. Oh, we who believe in freedom cannot rest. Oh, no. Say we who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. I'm a woman who speaks with a voice, and my voice must be heard. Sometimes I can be quite difficult. I'll bow to no one's word. Oh, we who believe in freedom cannot rest. Oh, no. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. Oh, no. Say we who believe in freedom cannot rest until it
Here at LCUUC, we try to take care of our wider community. And one of the ways we do that is by contributing to local food pantries. We give money, we give non-perishable food items, and we donate every month. So if you have food items to share, please bring them forward and put them in the basket, or have a child bring them up for you. And I invite the children to stay up front and enjoy a story. You can come down if you want. So some of you may know we're celebrating Martin Luther King Day today. And Dr. Martin Luther King was an African-American minister and preacher and teacher. And he said a lot of good things. And today's story is about the Birmingham Children's Crusade. Do any of you all know what a crusade is?
No?
No? It's when you get a bunch of people together to fight for something. And so I want you to think about 19, way before you were born. 93? No?
I was born.
You weren't born yet. I wasn't even born yet. In 1963, the world looked a lot different than it did now in some ways. Black kids and white kids couldn't go to school together. And they couldn't go out to eat together. And they couldn't go into a store together and order a soda and sit down at the counter and drink it together. And black people weren't usually allowed to live where white people lived or drink out of the fountains that white people drank out of. And so Dr. Martin Luther King and some of his friends, including a man named Reverend James Reeb, organized a bunch of people and began what we call a civil rights movement. They started to do nonviolent activity to try to change the world. And the only problem was it wasn't working. All the grown-ups had done everything they could, and especially in a place called Birmingham. Birmingham, Alabama, at the time, was called Bombingham by a lot of people, because if they didn't like what you did and you were black, they would blow you up. Sometimes they would shoot you or your mom or dad. It was a pretty scary place to be. And a guy named Reverend James Bevel had a brilliant idea. He said, what if we asked the kids to help? Kids your size. At least half of you sitting here are old enough that you would have been asked. Can you imagine what they might have asked these kids to do? It's 1963, and you can be arrested and shot just for being black. And so they went to all the black kids in Birmingham, Alabama. And what do you think they asked them to do?
Be with the white kids.
Be with the white kids? What do you think? Okay. What they asked them to do was go on a crusade. They asked 2,000 black kids, kids your size, you're going to meet us at the city hall, and you're going to walk with no adults, and you're going to walk. And you're going to walk till you can go meet the white kids over here. And we're going to see if the people who have been hurting black people are brave enough to hurt children. And what do you think they gave them to defend themselves? They gave them these. You ever seen one of the raincoats you get when you go to an amusement park so you don't get wet?
No.
That's what this is. This is a raincoat. This is what over 1,000 children were given. And they told them, put these on because they're going to spray you with hoses, with cold water, and they're going to try to scare you, and they're going to try to hurt you. So about 700 of the kids put on raincoats, just like these, and they started marching together. And the first 50 kids that went out were about the size of Harrison. And they start marching. And the police met them on the road. And they started arresting them.
Can't you please? Please,
And they got a little scared. Can you see how... Can you see the girl here with her school bag? She's the same size as you guys. That's her being brave and marching with her head up. And that's the police arresting her and putting her in her pen. Because she was...
What about the
So then they brought out hoses. And not warm, fun hoses like you play in the summer. They brought out big, cold hoses. And they start hosing everybody off. And all the kids laid down in the street so that the hoses couldn't get them and spray them with cold water. And then they got up and they start walking again. And they kept walking. And then one of the police officers went and got some scary dogs and brought them out and start chasing them with dogs. And that's when the news cameras showed up. But over 1,000 kids kept walking. They kept walking even though there were hoses and dogs and people yelling at them. And they start singing songs saying, "We're not going to turn around. The song we just sang, We Shall Overcome," that's what they start singing. And there were so many of them that the police couldn't arrest them all. They ended up taking them to a school and telling them to shut up and sit down and be quiet till we get somebody to do something about you. Because there were 10 times as many kids as there are in this building. 1,500 children were arrested and held in high school. Until they could figure out what you do with 1,500 people your size when you've been arrested. And it happened because of how brave all those kids were. A guy who wouldn't let black kids sit with white kids got fired. They did what no adult could do. Bull Connor was asked to step down from his job in Alabama. For those of you who are grown-ups and know who that was, the Children's Crusade broke the back of this terrible movement to keep black people away from white people. Because of kids just your size, the bad guy got fired. They weren't allowed to use big hoses to scare people anymore, or they weren't allowed to chase people with dogs anymore. And all because of kids just your size. Wearing dumb raincoats just like this. So thank you guys for listening to my story today. Right there. And could I have my lantern bearer? You get it? May the light and love of our chalice lead you today and every day. Good job. And if you all would help me sing the children to their classrooms, the song is called "For You Shall Go Out," and the words are written in your order of service. Thank you. A burglar broke into a house one night, and he shone his flashlight around looking for valuables, and when he picked up a laptop and went to jam it in his sack, a strange disembodied voice echoed from the dark and said, "Give it up. Jesus is watching you." Understandably frightened, he shone his light around frantically looking for the voice, and there in the corner of the room he saw a parrot. "Did you just say that?" he said to the parrot. "Yes," the parrot confessed and then squawked, "I'm just trying to warn you." The burglar said, "Warn me? Who in the world are you?" "Moses," said the bird. "Moses," the burglar laughed. "What kind of people would name their bird Moses?" The bird shrugged. "I guess the same kind that would name their big pit bull over there Jesus." "I say to you now in all sincerity, give it up. Jesus is watching you. The morning offering will now be given and received." Thank you so much for these gifts given and received for the life and the work of this community. As a congregation, one of the most joyous things we get to do together is to welcome new members into our midst. Our path to membership is simple. You attend until you think you might want to go further. Then you make the decision to come to a meeting and find out about Unitarian Universalism as a whole and us in particular. Once you're sure that this is the place for you, you make a financial pledge and you sign the book, officially joining our congregation. Today we are pleased to officially welcome and recognize our newest members and a few members who've been here for a little while but who had not had a chance to be recognized. Al Haskell is on the membership committee, and I'd like to ask him to join me here. Take it away, Al.
Much time. So, you current members, I want to ask you to join me in really doing your best.
Wait a minute, your mic is off.
All right, my time is up. So, just to reach out, our church is growing. Sometimes it's challenging for new people and old people to connect. So I just want to reach out to you folks on both sides of that to do your strong effort to do so. this community works because we know one another. For me, I've gained so much from you adults and have grown and feel better as a person, but I can tell you I truly have gained more from being involved with your kids. And one of the things this church always has done and always will do is to value the small voice at the same level as we do the older voice. So get to know our new members' kids as well, please. Would our new members taking part in this ceremony join us, please, by coming up? That would be Scott and Christy, the Bowdens. By the way, they have four children here. The Watsons, that's Alyssa and Quentin. They also have four. And Tara and Dreas, three children as well. So come right up. Where do you want them, Amy?
Come all the way up. Come okay. on up. Be brave. Be brave. I'm going to give you guys some... Everybody got one.
All right. So you've completed all the steps in our path to membership and are ready to be recognized as a member of this congregation. Yes, yes. If you would, then please read the first section on your sheet, syncopated or in unison. Work it out your best.
And I ask each of the adults to take a candle. We're going to light together in just a sec. You're very welcome. Come on, guys. And if you would hold the candle for the whole littles... And I'd ask all the adults if you would light your candles from the chalice for me. Go ahead. We light our candles together from one chalice because we share one fire. This is a church where all of us can find faith. Faith in ourselves, faith in the goodness of life, faith in the ultimate as we can conceive of it. So for those of you in the congregation, would you please, in your order of service, on this first white page at the top, read together with me now the first section on your sheet. This is a house. This is a house of love, hope, freedom, and faith. We and those who came before us have built a house where all are free to seek truth and knowledge with open minds and open hearts. It's a house of worship and peace, of art and music and meditation and nature. It's a congregation of adults and children, of action and rest.
It is a place of trust
where we covenant with each other for fellowship and the common good. It is a house of friendship where personal dignity and worth are protected. It is a house of prophecy, calling on all to seek justice and spiritual maturity.
In this community, hope is made real through the work of human hearts and human hands.
In this community, love is made visible as we support one another in a search for truth and meaning. Our tradition draws from many sources, both sacred and secular. and we foster the use of reason, conscience, and direct experience. If you indeed wish to be a part of this congregation, please read aloud now together the second section of your sheet, New Members. We do wish. And would the congregation please join me in welcoming our new members? If you would, read aloud the second section on your sheet.
Welcome to your church.
Welcome
to the workshop.
Common dreams and the cradle for shared endeavors. Welcome to this house. We rejoice that you're here.
Okay, this is the dangerous part. I'm going to offer you the hand of fellowship. This is a symbolic hand. Yes, it was whisting last night, but it'll be safe. It's dangerous because after that, we're going to ask you to extinguish your flames, not in your hearts, but in your hands.
And welcome be to you guys. And if you all would please extinguish your candles. Thank you. And I can take those. And thank you so much. We're so glad you're here. Thank you, guys. We are going to do joys and concerns today. I ask that you please keep it very abbreviated because our time is very tight today. We share together during the service in two ways. We speak aloud and we light candles together. So would anyone who has a joy or concern to share, please raise your hand and the ushers will bring you a microphone.
My name is Fran, and I am now Granny Fran as of yesterday, 1:30. Grace Claire Holly has joined us. So a candle of joy, thank you.
Hi, my name is John. Would you please light a candle of concern for my mom? She's 89 and having some problems with fluid in her lungs.
This is Laura. I'd like a candle of joy for my daughter, Stephanie, who will be flying out to Vietnam in a couple of weeks for a year to teach English as a second language in Hanoi.
Hi, this is Mark. Just a good friend whose elderly, mentally ill father was evicted this week. We don't really even know where he spent last night in Milwaukee, so...
Hi, this is Mike. Candle of joy for my daughter Nicole. She was her curling team placed first place in a state high school competition last weekend, which then puts her team as top seed for state competition coming up in February.
This is Lynn, a candle of joy for all our new members. We really look forward to getting to know you.
This is Esther. I just want to report Jerry is doing fine. He had surgery for a hernia surgery on Friday morning, so he's not here today. Oh. out. He's fine.
I'm Sheila, and I just want to say that after my alarm clock didn't go off this morning, and I finally got in gear, that I'm grateful that I did 80 on 16, and nobody caught me.
And we light our last candle today for all of those joys and all of those concerns. Oh, go, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
My name is Ruth Turk. I just moved here from Michigan, so this is my home now.
Welcome. And we light the last candle today for all of the joys and all of the concerns that are deeply held but have not been able to be voiced here today.
From Letter from Birmingham Jail by Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. We know through painful experience that freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. For years now, I have heard the word wait. It rings in the ear of every Negro with a piercing familiarity. This wait has almost always meant never. It has been a tranquilizing thalidomide. I'll get it one time. Relieving the emotional stress for a moment, only to give birth to an ill-forming infant of frustration. We must come to see with the distinguished jurist of yesterday that justice too long delayed is justice denied. We have waited for more than 340 years for our God-given and constitutional rights. I guess it is easy for those who have never felt the stinging darts of segregation say wait. But when you have seen vicious mobs lynch your mothers and fathers at will and drown your sisters and brothers at whim, when you have seen hate-filled policemen curse, kick, brutalize, and even kill your black brothers and sisters with impunity. When you see the vast majority of your 20 million Negro brothers smothering in an airtight cage of poverty in the midst of an affluent society, when you are humiliated day in and day out by nagging signs reading white and colored, when your first name becomes nigger, and your middle name becomes boy, however old you are, and your last name becomes John, and when your wife and mother are never given the respected title Mrs., when you are harried by the day, haunted by night, by the fact that you are a Negro, living constantly at tiptoe stance, never knowing what to expect next, and plagued with inner fears and outer resentment, then you are forever fighting a degrading sense of nobodiness. Then you will understand why we find it difficult to wait. There comes a time when the cup of endurance runs over and men are no longer willing to be plunged into an abyss of injustice where their experience, the bleakness of corroding despair. I hope, sirs, you can understand our legitimate and unavoidable impatience. Here ends the first reading.
Please join me in a silent moment of meditation or the spirit of prayer.
From Letter from Birmingham Jail by Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. I have almost reached the regrettable conclusion that the Negro's great stumbling block in the stride toward freedom is not the white citizen's counselor or the Ku Klux Klanner, but the white moderate who is more devoted to order than to justice, who prefers a negative peace, which is the absence of tension, to a positive peace, which is the presence of justice, who constantly says, I agree with you in the goal you seek, but I can't agree with your methods of direct action, who paternalistically feels that he can set the timetable for another man's freedom, who lives by the myth of time, and who constantly advises the Negro to wait until a more convenient season. Shallow understanding from people and goodwill is more frustrating than absolute misunderstanding from people of ill will. Lukewarm acceptance is much more bewildering than outright rejection. We will have to repent in this generation, not merely for the vitriolic words and actions of the bad people, but for the appalling silence of the good people. We must come to see that human progress never rolls in on wheels of inevitability. It comes through with tireless efforts and persistent work of men willing to be co-workers with God. And without this hard work, time itself becomes an ally of the forces of social stagnation. Here ends the second reading. Please rise in body or spirit and join me in singing number 156, O Freedom.
Song, and you'll pick it up. Even those of you who've never sung it before will pick it up in no time. We found that out in choir practice this morning. Many people who've never heard it before, so it's high time you learn this. Okay, hang on.
Before I'll be a slave, I'll
When I was a child, I spoke like a child, and I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. And when I was an adult, I put aside childish things. And some of you may have heard this scripture before. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 of the Christian Bible. It means that children have limited knowledge and they think in limited ways based on their limited experience. It doesn't mean they're not intelligent. It means they don't have enough experience to know what they don't know. When you were a child, say a four-year-old child, if someone had offered you one wish, one dearest wish, if someone had said to you, "What is your dream and I will give it to you?" What kinds of things do you think you would have said? 4 years old. You wouldn't have dreamed of ending war or curing cancer. You wouldn't have brought about world peace or ended global warming unless you were a very special child. Those things would have been too big for you to even imagine. 4 years old, you would have wished for what? An ice cream? A pony? A new pair of skis? Something you had seen. Something you could see and touch and taste or cuddle. If your life was one of poverty or danger, you might wish for a safer house or more food, but you wouldn't be able to articulate a dream of global social and economic justice, not at 4 years old. In 1963, Dr. Martin Luther King certainly wasn't a child, but he was a child of his time, and it was a younger time. And in his I Have a Dream speech, he said this: "There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied? We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horror of police brutality. We can never be satisfied as long as our bodies, heavy with the fatigue of travel, cannot gain lodging in the motels and the highways and the hotels of the cities. We cannot be satisfied as long as the Negro's basic mobility is from a smaller ghetto to a larger ghetto. We can never be satisfied as long as our children are stripped of their selfhood and robbed of their dignity by signs saying 'for whites only.' We cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No, no, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. I am not unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trial and tribulation, some fresh from narrow jail cells. Some have come from areas where your quest for freedom has left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the wind of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia and Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities, knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friends, even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It's a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. And in 1963, these words were powerful. And they still ring out today, even though they still hold true today. But there is hope. There is hope. And the hope is in this room. I ask you now to please stand and join me for number 205, Dr. Martin Luther King's favorite hymn, Amazing Grace. Verse, when we've been there. You please be seated. We have grace and we have hope, but Dr. King's dream was a young dream. It was a dream that said in part, I dream of a day when a black man can be respected for behaving as a respectable white man. I dream of a day where everybody black will be allowed to behave white. I dare to think of a day when a black man in a suit will be given respect, when a black woman can shop at any store she chooses. I dare to imagine a world where we won't be brutalized simply for the color of our skin, where our kids can go to school, where we can buy a house with a white picket fence and join the local Lions Club and swim in the community pool. Because Dr. King was a child of his time. And it's time to dream bigger. Time to dream in ways Dr. King never could have imagined. Because 43 years later, our movement is no longer a child. And unarmed black men, women, and children are still being shot and strangled and tased to death by police officers in the street. When the U.S. Census Bureau conducted its decicentennial account of Wisconsin residents, 1 in 8 African-American working-age men were behind bars. This rate of mass incarceration is the highest for African-American men in the country, double the national average. By contrast, the incarceration rate of white men is that of the national average. State Department of Corrections records show incarceration rates for African-American males in Milwaukee County are outrageous beyond that. One half or more of African American men in their 30s and over half the men in their early 40s have been incarcerated in state correctional facilities. That's today. Maybe it's time that we stop saying, I have a dream. Maybe it's time we wake up and start fighting. Maybe it's time we bring the hope and the grace back. Maybe it's time that we are the amazing grace. It's time to fight for a world in which black people can dare to dream, not of being respected for acting like white people, but of being respected while black. It's time to fight for their right to be respected while wearing natural black hairstyles, clothing that they choose. It's time to recognize that black lives don't matter also. They matter, period. Black doesn't need to be judged in terms of white. Black culture and lives need to be recognized for their own merits. And we can win this fight. We can win it together, starting here, starting now. Don't take on the world. The world is too big. The world is that four-year-old not even knowing how to frame the question. Take on your own family. Take on your friends. Take on the shops where you shop and the places where you work. Make it safe for black people to be black people, not imitation white people. Use your privilege. Vote. Make your voice heard. Let the dream grow up. Let the dream wake up. We have a dream, and it's one Dr. King never would have dared to speak. A dream of true equality. A dream of choice. A dream of recognition of all people. And these words from Dr. King still hold true for that dream. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain made low, and the rough places shall be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will all be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, and from every mountainside, let freedom ring." And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain in Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain in Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside, from Milwaukee and Heartland, Wisconsin. Let freedom ring. And when this happens, when we allow freedom to ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will speed up that day when all of God's children, black and white, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholic, will be able to join hands and say in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we're free at last." Wake the dream up. Start the fight and start it here. Amen. down in that land where I'm bound, where I'm bound. There'll be freedom in that land. There'll be freedom in that land. There'll be freedom in that land where I'm bound. There'll be justice in that land. There'll be justice in that land. There'll be justice in that land where I'm bound. There'll be justice in that land. There'll be justice in that land. There'll be justice in that land where I'm bound. There'll be singing in that land. There'll be singing. Walk in peace, fight for justice, and live in hope. Peace, and may it be so.